important that when we are given the word that we do it. It's one thing to be given it and not do it. That's rebellion. But to be given the word, you must do the word. It's a very important thing. One, it commands us to do it, right? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A lot of guys stop at that because they don't like the second part. Teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. Like a real disciple is one who is obedient. Now, that being said, when we get into Timothy chapter 5, this is it's a very important command by which God gives to the church that we must do as a church, especially as elders. And so before we do that, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dig in. Are you guys ready? Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness and faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your word. You are faithful and good. You love the widow. You protect her. And you care for her, and you support her, and give her all her needs. And you have commanded the church to do the same. We are your body. And the religion that you consider pure and faultless is to care for the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world, to keep ourselves holy. Lord, we praise you and thank you. To you be honor and glory. May the full counsel of your word be spoken. Lord, help me and help us to rightly divide it, to see your heart and care for those who have difficulty doing it on their own and have not meant to do it on their own. Lord, we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start off first and foremost by reading something in John chapter 19. Jesus does this same thing. It's interesting when you read it. Chapter 19, verse 28. And this, Jesus, knowing, I did that same thing on first service. It's actually verse 24c, so go there. Verse 24, the last part. So the soldiers did these things by standing by the cross of Jesus, where his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and his disciple and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Now, the question I had asked earlier was, why, if Jesus has brothers, James and Jude, would Jesus not give the responsibility to his brothers? I mean, after all, that would be what you would consider the Jewish responsibility, is to care for the mother when the mother has no one to care for her. Jesus, being the older brother, is dying. His father has died already. But Jesus doesn't give his responsibility of the mother to James and Jude. We know it's James and Jude because they were the ones that wrote James and Jude. Why would he give it to John? And here's why. John was a believer, and James and Jude were not. I want you to hear that. The responsibility of the widow is on you, the church. It's on no one else. God has given us that responsibility. That being said, turn to 1 Timothy. So I've already given you the command in James 1:27. Now, let's read what God says concerning the widow. Now, Paul gives Timothy some very important things, and he starts off in verse 13 of chapter 4, and I'll read that, verse 13 of chapter 4. "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which has been given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as a brother, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters in all purity." So let's start off with verse 1 and 2, godly leaders are careful to shepherd not only in action, but especially with words. Godly men are leaders and must be careful to shepherd, not only in action, but especially in words, and especially those who have been called and ordained as elders. Now, in Leviticus 19:32, it says it this way: "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." Leviticus 19:32. You shall stand up. When an older man walks in, you show him honor. You stand up face to face. You give respect to him. I think that's missing today, especially in young people. You hear that, little ones, younger ones, teenagers, young adults. Show the respect. These men have lived life. Give honor. Respect them. Face to face, man to man. That's the idea here. And what he says here concerning Timothy, he says, Timothy, understand, he's 19, 20 years old, shepherding a church. And Paul says, Timothy, do not rebuke. Do not chastise with your words. Though you are a godly man, though you have biblical authority, though you are the shepherd, the under-shepherd of this church, you, Timothy, are not to chastise older men, but encourage him as you would a father. How many of you guys got nasty with your dad? I know, same thing. I asked everybody else that, and nobody would admit it. Many. It's important you honor these men as you would your father. Younger men as brothers. I mean, brotherhood is important. I know that when you grow up with many brothers, you want to hold on to those relationships and keep them strong. Older women as mothers. It's interesting. I was sharing this earlier. You know, it's really upsetting as a man, as a father. You raise your kids, you teach them football, they get famous, they stand in the camera, and you go, "That's my boy," and all of a sudden he goes, "Thank you very much. Hi, Mom, what happened to all the work?" That's him honoring his mother. She carried him for 9 months. You didn't. She dealt with all his sicknesses and his hurts and his scraped knees and his crying and his frustration because he wasn't doing well in school, and all of the times he never listened because we like to climb trees and pick up snakes. And younger women as sisters, being careful to protect, but do it in all purity, it says. Do it in sinlessness life, a life that's not characterized as sinful. That is how you should be handling your relationships with older men and younger men and older women and younger women. How we communicate. I will tell you, it's something that I work hard at. My wife will tell you sometimes I screw up, but it is important to me to honor her and to love her and my kids. Godly leaders manage the care of widows and purpose to exhort them to cling to Christ. Fathers of the fatherless, protector of widows is God in his holy habitation, Psalm 68:5. Do you get that? That where God is the father to the fatherless, and he protects the widow. What's interesting about the word widow, as I said earlier, is men are not widows. Men can't be widows. I know in today's society, when a wife dies, the man goes, "I'm a widow." No, you're not. Because a widow means barren, means without care and support, a city with no inhabitants. Men can, to the very last breath of their life, typically take care of themselves and will suffer through, and some even die doing their work. But not so when it comes to women. Why? Well, I'm sure the feminist movement would say, we can do everything a man can do. No, that's not true either. That's a lie. Women can't do everything a man can do. And I will tell you this, men cannot do what women do. When we come home from work, the wife has cleaned the house, cooked dinner for you, managed the kids, educated the children, disciplined the children, went out and played with the children, taught the children the word of God, and you come home to a dinner. And when she's done all this work, you aren't to be sitting watching her work. You need to take over. See, you couldn't do that for 14 straight hours. Women do, and they do it because it's God's given gift to them to be a mother. We read that in chapter 2. So let's go on. Chapter 5, verse 3 through 16. Honor, timeo, to revere or to venerate. Honor widows. Kera is the word here. It means barren, without care and support, a city with no inhabitants, who are truly widows. What does it mean to be truly a widow? A widow who is truly a widow is one who cannot take care of herself. She's older. Her husband is gone. Her kids are gone. She is left alone. And if she is not taken care of, supported, shepherded, provided for, she will die. Because the man will go out and get all the food and work and bring the money home and then give it to her and she would make it. That's the way it was back then. Now, you go to Chick-fil-A. But in reality, older women are truly widows. But, it says in verse 4, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household. Isn't that interesting? That there's two things here, I think, that we need to be thoughtful and considerate of. First, is that she must continue to show godliness to her own household, and the children and grandchildren should learn to show godliness to the widow. Means this term, show godliness to their own household, is to act piously, reverently with their family. How many have you seen where they're widows and they're left and they're wondering, why am I alone? How come nobody loves me? Why is no one caring about me after I've given everything I can to them? What do you think happens? They get bitter, angry. That can't be in the church, and it will not be in this church. So let's keep reading. They must show godliness, act piously, reverently with their family, and to make some return to their parents. You're like, what? So let's say a woman, her husband dies, and she has a mom and dad. Guess where she should go? She should go back home to her mom and dad because she has no one else now to care for her, to help protect her, to help support her, to give her guidance when she needs it. You're not meant to live life alone. If that was true, then why would God create a helper fit for Adam? We're not meant to be alone. And so, this is a very important thing. Make sure, or make some return to their parents. Notice it doesn't say all. It says some. Those who cannot take care of themselves. Those who need support. Those who need protection. Especially in those days. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. God is pleased with this. What would the feminine movement say today? You can do it on your own, girl. You're going to be just fine. Go get a job. Okay. It's more than that. Next, it says in verse 5, she who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications. She has no one else. She is left truly alone. There is nobody there for her. She has no family. She can't go home to nobody. She is by herself. And look at what it says. She turns to God as her hope. For widows, this is what I want to give you. Turn to God as your hope. He will take care of you. I promise you that. And when you turn to him, you seek him, you ask him, and you entreat, Lord, you said you would take care of me. And then it says, and prayers, addressing God. God, you are my provider. You are king. All you have a cattle on 1,000 hills. You own everything. You know I cannot do this on my own. I need you. That's the idea here. And that's the type of woman this particular widow is. Then he says, but, and she does this night and day, mind you. It's not just when she needs something. She's throwing up supplications and prayers all day long. But the woman or the widow who is self-indulgent, spataleo is the word here. It's one who gives oneself to pleasure. She is dead even while she lives. So what happens sometimes with women who lose their husbands if they're young, they give themselves over to pleasures. They self-indulge themselves with things and men. She doesn't realize that the very life giver she has walked away from, the one who would fulfill her pleasures, her needs, her cares, she's now turned to the things that are fleeting and dying, and she lives as if she's dead. That's what it means here. Zeo, nasko is the word here, or thnesko, to live without life. If you're not going to live for God, you're going to live a lifeless life. And look what he says here to Timothy. He says, command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach, so that no one can bring an accusation against any of these widows, so that society doesn't say, you're a burden on us. The church takes on that burden. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If you know there's a widow in your family, your mother-in-law, your mother, and you don't care for her, you're worse than an unbeliever. That's what it says here. For those who are caring for them, praise God, godly men. Now, for those mothers who refuse, like, no, I've done this all my life, there's nothing you can do. And here it is. You guys ready? So there is a way out for some of you. You can't make your mama do it, because that's mama. And this is what it says. Let a widow be enrolled. This word enrolled means choose to be listed for care. Let a widow choose to be listed for care if she's not less than 60 years old or 60 years of age. So if she is 60 years or older, you must allow her, if she chooses, to come for care, protection. Why? Because she was a wife of one husband. She has no one else. She also is a woman of a good reputation. She's having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality. Here's the list of good works. Reputation of good works. Brought up children. You hear that, ladies? Keep raising your kids. It's good work. What else does it say? Has shown hospitality. You've been a good hostess. Thank you for caring and sharing. Thank you for ladies' fellowship. These ladies do good work. Look what else it says. Has washed the feet of the saints. Spiritually speaking, they wash our feet all the time. Has cared for the afflicted and has devoted herself to good work. That woman should be cared for, provided for, protected. There should never be a need. If you can't pay the mortgage, we'll pay it. If you can't feed yourself, we'll feed you. All you have to do is go to caring and counseling and they will take care of you. That's why we have it. Whatever your need is. But look what it says about the next woman. I promise. I'm going to end at 14 because I can't get it all in. Okay? Look what it says here. It's the next woman. But refuse to enroll younger widows. Ouch. Why? Why can younger widows not be on the list? Here's why. For when their passions, when they want to act on impulse of sexual desire, is what this means. It's what it means. Draw them away from Christ. This passion they have, because they're young, they need to live out this impulse to be desired. It draws them away from Christ. Christ is no longer the source. Younger women should not be on the list, because what happens is men are the ones that usually come in and take care of the need. You ever thought about that? It's one of the reasons why we drive them to caring and counseling and caring and sharing and ladies' fellowship. We drive them to deaconesses. Very important. We want them to be cared for, but we also want to empower them to live holy. That's the idea here. That's exactly what Paul means here to Timothy. And then he says this. Why do they do this? Why do they desire, or why do their passions rule them? Because they want to be married. They don't want to be alone. I can tell you, it's one of the things I've noticed about some of the young widows that I've done ministry to. They don't want to be alone. And then look what it says here. And as a result, and so, verse 12, and so incur condemnation, judgment of God, for having abandoned their former faith. What does that mean? They have abandoned what has been previously reliable, persistently faithful, not pulled away. See, when they are safe, when a woman is secure, when she knows she's provided for, when all her needs are in through the man by which God provides through that man, and he is gone, she wonders, what's going to happen with me now? This is what it says next. It says, besides that, they learn to be idlers. They learn to be inactive or at leisure. I will tell you, I've seen this happen. They just give up. I don't want to do anything. They go about from house to house, it says here. And not only idlers. This idea is they go about the home alone and inactive, not taking care of her responsibilities. You remember what I said in chapter 2? That she will be saved through childbearing. It's not that she is born again through childbearing. It means that she finds her wholeness as a woman in being busy doing what women are created to do, support and help. It's the beauty of biblical feminism. It's not the idea that I can run a business or I can be the CEO of a large company, that I can make thousands and thousands of dollars. Guess what you miss out on? You miss out on the rearing of your children and the joy of sharing life with somebody because your life becomes your business. And then it says this, she's not taking care of her responsibilities, which means that, but also gossips. She becomes a babbler, talking and doing silly things. It's true. And busybodies, saying what they should not. This word busybodies is neglecting the important things and busy not minding their own business. They get into other people's stuff because they have nothing else to do. Remember, they're just being inactive at home. They're not taking care of their responsibilities. What else do I got to do? Hey, girl, did you hear about this guy? Look, I know this girl. She's with this guy, like down the street. It's exactly what happens. She needs to live for Christ, desire him, seek him out in all things. She needs to see the example of the widow who goes before God, who is her hope, literally begging the Lord to take care of her and giving him praise for doing so. Verse 14, and I will end with this. So I would have younger widows marry. That makes sense. Here's what I mean. How many of you guys married because you loved your spouse? I love them. If I didn't love you, I'd have married you. Don't believe that. I'm going to wreck you right now. I'm so sorry. You don't marry because you're in love. You ever notice that the marriages that quote unquote start off with love always end in hate? But marriages that start off in a commitment, understanding two very important principles. Okay? You ready? You get married because that person loves God more than they love anyone else. The only person that matters is Jesus. So I don't need you to fill my life. I need you to partner with me. Fit my life. He created a helper fit for him. The second is she fits my life, right? She is like hand in glove. She helps me. She is willing to sacrifice and do everything that she needs to do to help me become all I can be in Jesus, and I do the same. I say this a lot, and I know it drives my wife crazy, but it's the truth. When I look at my wife 26 years this June, 26 years, and I said, honey, I love you. When I look at my life now, my love for her now, it's not even close. I liked her a lot. I liked her. Attraction isn't love. It's not a love. Attraction is a lust. It's a desire. It's what God has given us that we would desire one another. But love demands not only that we live it, it demands that it's a person. Love is Jesus. My love for her is way different today than it was when I first met her. So why should younger widows marry? Because they learn to love in marriage. You learn love in marriage. You have no idea, young people, what love is. You have no clue. When you are at the bedside after 3 miscarriages, you learn what love is. That's love. When you stick through thick and thin, watching your mom pass away from cancer. That's what love is. Feelings come and go. Love is eternal. True love requires sacrifice. So when I say I love her, even when at times I don't like her, and vice versa. I mean, how many of you ladies know that your husband gets on your nerves? Do you honestly really like him at that moment? Okay. Donna's like, oh, Pastor, you should love her anyway. I do. I stay with her. I'm willing to die with her. I want to be the Notebook guy holding hands as we both die in bed together. So let me end it with this. So I would have younger women marry, bear children. Why? She finds her purpose. She fulfills her purpose and her wholeness in being a mother. There is no greater vocation for a woman than to be a mom. And understanding that, even with PRC here today, we should do everything we can to fight for life, because there is no greater calling on any woman than that one calling, to be a mom. Lastly, she must manage their households. Learn to be busy at home. Learn, develop, grow. There is no greater CEO, administrator, nurse, cook, housekeeper than the woman. My wife can outwork anybody. Lastly, and this is the end of this verse, and give an adversary no occasion for slander. See, when a young woman goes back into her God-given role and responsibility, she eliminates false accusations about her. As a matter of fact, do you remember that woman that the Pharisees brought before Jesus, caught her in adultery? What did he say? We've caught this woman in adultery. How would you know? Were you watching through the window, you little dirty dog? You know what else? There's another story. The woman at the well. Where's your husband? Why are you over here getting water? How come your husband's not doing the work? It's his job. Why are you asking me for water? I'm a woman. Go get your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right. You have five. This is an example. Isn't that interesting? When a woman's not busy living out her God-given purpose and responsibility, her calling, her ordained vocation, she gets busy doing other things. Enjoy being a woman, especially being a beautiful woman of God. Amen. Father, I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness and goodness. To you be honor and glory. We give you praise. You are God. And we thank you for the women in our lives. Help us as a church to be faithful with the widow and to encourage the young widow to continue to live out her roles as a role as a woman, to take back biblical feminism, that you would be high and lifted up and glorified in every way. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.